been hard every day since we started this shit.
Yep.
We've only missed one episode that was supposed to come out on a specific day because I had coronavirus. I don't got that shit no more.
I didn't somehow, which is fucking amazing.
We were fucking in a truck together every single fucking day, like for the whole week, 2 weeks that I was fucking sick and I didn't know I had COVID. I go get tested. He's sitting in the truck. They're like, you got that shit? And I'm like, cool, I figured. Not super surprised. Still had a full-blown panic attack because that's just what the fuck happens.
And then I went into a full-blown panic attack when I got home.
Exactly. And he gets tested twice. Both come out negative. I get tested once. That's positive. Then 4 days later, I tested again. Negative. So what's up? So the shit's real. It's really shitty. But it's all good.
Yeah.
The fatigue literally was the worst part.
That's what I've heard. My uncle, two of my uncles ended up getting it, and they were just like, the fucking sickness sucked, but it was the aftermath of it when you're just fucking, like, trying to recuperate. Mm-hmm. They're just laying in bed fucking hating their lives. I'm like, well, yeah.
For so long.
Yeah.
It was literally, I had never, the fatigue is on another level. It's right. So aggressive that, like, your muscles, each individual muscle strand is like, fuck this. Doesn't want to move. Everything hurts at the exact same time. Headaches, fucking your face hurts, your fucking back, legs. I couldn't like shift my body when I was in bed.
Was like, it like a shittier fucking heroin withdrawal?
It was like, okay, like I'd you're rather
actually sick,
but here's the thing. I would much rather withdraw from heroin or no, I would much rather have coronavirus than withdraw from heroin.
Okay,
I fucking swear to God.
Yeah.
Withdrawing from heroin, if you've ever done that, coronavirus ain't shit.
Don't do it.
No. I would never suggest either of them. They both suck. Neither of them is a trip to Disneyland.
No.
Neither of them is even a trip to McDonald's. Okay? They both fucking suck balls.
You got coronavirus served you with an unhappy meal?
Yeah, dude. It was a very, very unhappy meal.
Yeah.
And
how was eating on it?
I don't taste shit.
Really?
I didn't taste anything, but the taste thing was like 3 days. I didn't taste.
Bro, I just want to know, how the fuck did I not get it? Because you came back, what? You were off work for
2 days.
2 days. You came back. You were still sick as fuck. I could tell.
Yeah.
And we're still like, hey, fucking, what's up?
Let's
like,
fucking share CBD cigarettes.
Yeah. Who gives a fuck?
Like, yeah, it was an oversight. I kind of just figured I got tested
stoked.
In March. I don't have it.
I'm pretty stoked because when I went to CVS to take my test, right? They're like, do it yourself. I'm certified, bro. I did it right.
Man,
I can,
you if you need a corona,
if you need a fucking test,
hit him up.
Hit me up, dude.
Hit him up on Juan_SFU on Instagram.
That's me.
And then just be like, bruh, I live in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Can you drive out here and give me a coronavirus test? And he'll come, dude.
Yeah. Somehow.
He doesn't have a license, but he'll ride a bike or a skateboard.
Yeah.
If you want to buy him a skateboard, maybe he'll go up there for that. Like that's
an electric skateboard.
Yeah.
The new Tesla skateboards that aren't real yet.
That'd be kind of hard. Elon Musk, get on that shit.
Yeah, what the fuck,
dude? We better copyright that shit now. A Tesla skateboard.
It's copyrighted.
Like Tom, you draw the
C
with your finger.
That's what I was going for, but I didn't know if I was doing it right.
Because like Tom Green's been posting those videos where he's riding that electric skateboard, and it's fucking sick.
Dude, I want one.
Yeah.
That'd be dope.
Yeah. I think it'd be cool to have an electric dirt board, you know, with the big wheels.
Yeah,
so you could just fucking romp curbs. You don't give a fuck.
I could just ride to my death through the desert just to get to you guys. Because
I feel like
tests.
A skateboard, if you're going 25 miles an hour on a skateboard and you hit a fucking rock, because there's so many, every street has thousands of rocks
I would hope the fucking like wheels on the skate, like the electric skateboard are softer because the harder wheels pick up everything, dude.
Yeah, get some fucking 50 millimeter hard ass wheels and just hit that fucking horn of death and you
Jesus
go flying
Christ.
Down the fucking street.
Yeah, I've told you that story right there on what is it, South Palo Verde. I was like,
oh yeah, that's a hill for sure,
dude. I was like, I was going pretty fast, but I'm like, I'm gonna go a little bit faster, so I was like giving
Seems
it an
like
extra
good idea.
Oomph.
Oh yeah, not a good idea.
And I leaned forward just to like
Damn,
distribute
speed, like a one of those speed ice skaters.
Yeah, and
Manly
of course
Wang.
Before I even noticed it, I hit a rock, right? And I was in the air just like still leaning forward. I'm like,
like a long distance ski jump.
Yeah, and
just
I look,
fucking,
dude, it was in slow motion, and I look, I'm like, oh shit, the board's not
anywhere
under my feet.
The board's back there, stopped.
And then my face just went, I'm gonna hit that right there, that fucking really
that
hard
looks tasty.
Road. Yeah, for
I'm
sure.
I'm gonna eat that shit.
I showed up to school with like half a shirt, and they're like, what? You can't be in class with this shirt. I'm like, give me another one.
This is a Jaws t-shirt.
It's a fucking DIY
Jaws shirt.
Like Havasu High School shirt.
Yeah. It's like off. I got attacked by coyotes or something.
It was for theater class, which I didn't take. And I think, was that even a thing? I don't fucking
know. Yeah, yeah. Fucking that big building all the way to the side. Was it I Hall?
Right.
The one next to C Hall on the big side. That was the theater. Because there was fucking the douchebag kids that would sit outside of it all the time, like at the end of school. They would sit against that wall on the way out the parking lot. Those were the theater kids.
You know what's weird? Like
we used to
I used to call those kids the weirdos, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
In all reality, like,
you were the weirdo.
I was the fucking weirdo. Cause
well, it's like the anime kids are the weirdos, and you're one of those. I've never been one of those, but all of my friends were those guys.
Yeah, I'm like a.
But I don't like anime really. There's
I'm like a complete crossbreed of everything, which is super weird.
Yeah. You're like a Chicano skater who likes punk, but also likes hip hop.
Yeah.
And
I watch anime every
and
night.
Anime, but also horror movies.
Yeah.
You're a walking contradiction. Green Day wrote a song about you.
Oh my God.
Called Walking Contradiction.
Oh my God.
It's on the Insomniac album. Check that shit out.
It's about me, dude.
It's brand new. It just came out last week, 1997 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
One of my favorite CDs still. Maybe one of my favorite albums. Speaking of albums, got that fucking that movie That Thing You Do that Tom Hanks wrote.
You're telling me.
I guess in the director's cut of it, Tom Hanks' character in the movie, he was their manager. He was gay. Like in the director's cut, they're just like, let's make him gay.
Yeah, okay.
But it's not like
that's a good direction to go.
Yeah, they just toss it in there. It's not like they walk in a room one time. He's just blowing a dude. And he's like, hey, Shades, what's up? I like that song that you guys did. And then just sucking a dick.
Gobble, gobble, you know?
He never did that, but I guess there was a point in time where he introduced the band to his boyfriend. But in the director's cut, because in the regular one, there's nothing about him being gay. But I guess Tom Hanks wrote that song, and those dudes, Steve Zahn, the dude that was in Vegas Vacation, which is one of the best vacation movies in my opinion, with Chevy Chase, they actually learned how to play the instruments for that song.
That's fucking sick.
Which is, it's pretty cool that they did that. The guy that was in Dead Man on Campus,
that's insane,
he was the drummer.
Like, that's insane, because they probably had to fucking what? They took, I don't know how long it takes to film a movie, but they probably took what?
Months.
6 months or some shit, let's say.
Sure.
And they're like, well, I know this now.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, cool.
But it's like they learned
just like a few chords
to play,
and
the guitars and all that stuff. But if you learn to play the drums, you learn to play that one beat that he plays and the couple rolls that he does. But then also the drummer, they kind of have an end section where he's like playing with this like badass jazz musician, and he's fucking just in a room tearing it up and doing this sick ass solo, and it's him doing it.
Have you ever seen Whiplash?
I really want to.
Me too.
It's
with J.K. Simmons and shit.
Yeah, that's the dude from Oz. He played the white supremacist in Oz. He was the Aryan Brotherhood guy.
And he's J. Jonah Jameson, bro.
But, yeah.
And Spider-Man.
Yeah, I've really wanted to see that. There's this dude. What's his fucking name? He's from New York. He's a drummer. I think his name's Gavin Necritum or some shit like that. It's a hard-ass last name to pronounce. But he plays traditional style, so he has one hand facing up, you know, like the old-style drums. This motherfucker, dude.
Okay.
Oh, he is so good. You only hold the left one like that. The right hand is still match grip.
That's
normal.
Fucking weird.
Bill Burr talks about him. Like, Bill Burr shouted this dude out because this guy is fucking good. He looks like he's young. Like, he's probably your age, maybe. He's mid-20s.
Huh.
But I don't know where he plays. It looks like he, like, has a little shitty studio. Because I thought in, like, New York, that's kind of the weird thing about big cities like that is, because everybody lives in apartments in a big city like that.
Yeah.
You can't do anything like that. If you wanted to have a fucking band, you have to have money to rent a fucking office where they allow you to play music. Like, in New Hampshire, we had to do that. Like,
dude, imagine just hearing that, what you were saying, just imagine growing up like back then throughout the like New York hardcore scene and shit, how they used to do it. Like, like you're saying, like, how the fuck did they even,
like, that was
rehearse,
like,
dude.
I think all those people lived outside of the city at first, and that's where they practice, like at their parents' houses, or they fucking pooled their money and got some shitty house outside of the city. Like, bands like Fugazi and things like that, obviously, when he started in Minor Threat, they probably played, like, at Ian's pad, like, outside the city. And then, like, bands like Fear from New York.
Like, fucking, I was listening to, what is it, the John Joseph episode on the Toby Morse's podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And he was talking about it. Dude, that fool's got such a fucking insane story that he was saying.
Of course.
But he was, he was just talking about how everything went down and shit back then, and it was like, what the fuck? I wish
it would have been so insane to be around for that. It's like a lot of people wish that they could go back to like the 60s when the Beatlemania shit happened.
Yeah.
Just to see somebody, like to see a band get so fucking huge. And but like for us, it'd be like to see punk music, to like see the Ramones and the Sex Pistols and just all those old fucking bands.
Just to be there when it was going down, like at CBGB and shit. And
like
fucking,
even to go back to see like Screeching Weasel and the Queers when they first started,
oh,
or
fuck,
the Dickies or Sloppy Seconds. There's so many fucking good punk bands from the East Coast that there was a fucking scene. And like those, a lot of those guys are still around.
Yeah, yeah.
They all live in like different places. I think Joe Queer lives in like Georgia or some shit from the Queers. And then fucking Ben Weasel like kicked some girl in the face at a show from Screeching Weasel. And Mike Dirnt, I guess he played bass on, I think it was Boogada Boogada Boogada. There's the name of one of Screeching Weasel's albums. So he wore a tank top, I remember, on a live show once, and it was the Screeching Weasel tank top. And that's where I, like, initially, when I was really young, I saw that, and I was like, who the fuck is Screeching Weasel? And I didn't get to find it out until YouTube became, like, a real thing, and you could, like, look shit up like that. That was another thing about, like, just being a kid back when, like, the early 90s, mid-90s and shit, like, even before you were born, there was no knowing, like, the newest fucking thing to come out, because there was just no internet, there was no social media.
Well, see, like,
house phones were it. That's all you had.
What's it called? Like, when I was in middle school in California, yeah, we had internet. It was already going. It was already a thing.
Yeah, AOL at least existed.
Right. It was already a thing and shit. Like, MySpace was a thing, so there was already all those bands that were coming out. And but I didn't have the money for that back then. We didn't have the money for that. So I was getting CDs and shit given to me from homies from school.
Oh, like burnt CDs?
Yeah, burnt CDs.
Oh, of course.
Shit.
I had a shitload of those.
There was a record shop right by my house, and I would just go check. I would go there. I'd go fucking listen to everything, dude. Like,
yeah.
As much as I could.
I miss the way that things were sometimes, like the way that you had to, like, do your research. Like, you had to fucking get out of your house, go to places, meet people.
Shit, now you just gotta go. What's up?
Yeah, oh, shit, you could look any kind of event, any person. You could hit, you could look them up, and you can send them a fucking message.
Yeah, that's insane.
And they mostly will choose not to fucking hit you back, but there's a chance that they will, you know? And that's insane too, that you could tweet at any, you could tweet at the fucking president right now, and that's there's a crazy chance he'll see it. Then when Jimmy Carter was president, or Reagan, that shit wasn't happening.
They were getting like 50 fucking million letters.
Yeah, they just like, got bags of mail, and they would just burn it.
Yeah.
Like, that's all.
Yeah, it was like when I talked to like Luis J. Gomez, where I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, that was always a big thing. Like, when you met, you know, when you're younger and you're like, I'm going to message this famous person or whatever.
Yeah.
I'd always do that. I'm like, fucking love you, dog. And then this fool was like, sup, dude? I was like,
why are you talking to me?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. To be, I mean, still, I'm fucking like, I'm still so, like, high on life. Just the fact that I got to meet Luis J. Gomez was fucking.
Dude,
you got
to hang out with him, bro.
Yeah. Like, to literally hang out at a bar, listen to music, like a live band that I used to be in, and not be on stage. But I'm kind of glad I wasn't, because then I wouldn't have got to speak to him.
Yeah.
And that would have fucking sucked balls. Like, so it's kind of good that it happened the way
that
it did.
When he comes out, bro, I mean, fuck. Like you said, message him. We'll message him and be like, you just got to get your boys together, bro, and be like,
I'll
fucking
play you. Yeah, I'm going to start another fucking band. I can't keep fucking doing this shit. A, if anybody in Havas who's listening, I know that I have a few musician friends, and I've already talked to some of them about getting together and starting a new cover band mostly, but I also want to write our own shit. And anybody's down, hit me up. I'm willing to fucking jam with pretty much anybody because that shit's, it's so much fun. And like, I need to get back out and do that type of shit because this is definitely kind of like supplementing that feeling, being able to do something like this, just creating some kind of content regardless of who watches it or how many.
This is it for me. It's pretty cool. Like,
yeah,
I would have never done this shit.
It's it for a lot of people. A lot of people in this town are starting to pop up with podcasts now. And I don't know if it's, I know we weren't the first.
No,
there was at least one that I know of that I saw from this town. And, honestly, the Gas Digital Studios was my main influence in wanting to do this myself. But also Joe Rogan saying, like, I mean, fucking anybody should have a podcast. Everybody's got a different story to tell. Everybody's got a different take.
Fucking watching Bad Friends, like, and listening to it, just the way the shit was. I remember we were in the truck, and I'm like, dude, like, we could fucking do this. Like, that's what the fuck. They're, like, really good friends, and all they do is bullshit. And, like, we bullshit all fucking day in the truck, and a lot of our best content that we should be putting out there is in that truck. Maybe it's very inappropriate.
Some offensive. Of it for sure but, can't come out. I mean,
but still.
But yeah, eventually we'll figure out a way to actually get some kind of good recordings to come out of the truck. And it's like, but it's a different thing. And a lot of people learn that when they finally sit down in front of a camera and all this shit, lights and fucking, there's fucking blinking lights everywhere and microphones and wires. When you're sitting in this situation, like when Brandon came over last week and he did his first thing, he was like immediately, he was just like, ah, this is fucking weird.
That's how I was.
He's like, I don't know how to feel about this.
Right.
He didn't like know how to, he's like, I don't know what to do with my hands and how do I hold a microphone? Yeah, I did the same. I was like, I was just trying to do the best that I could out there. And it's like really the best way to do it is you kind of just have a conversation and then you just go in a little bit more on the things that are like maybe people don't quite have that experience or maybe people would find that interesting. And that leads us to really the main topic of what I kind of wanted to talk about because it's a big deal in everybody's life.
Yeah.
And especially in people that have any type of mental health or mental health issues.
Right.
And that is the effect of negative or the negative effects of mental health or positive effects, really the consequence in general of mental health on a relationship, as in like a romantic relationship. So your significant other having to put up with depression, anxiety, drug addiction, BPD, bipolarity, any of those things. And then having to put up with, because everybody's got some form of mental health issue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Nobody's just even keeled and perfect all the time, no matter how many people put that idea out into the ether. Like, hey, look at how perfect my fucking life is. That just makes me think, hey, you're such a fucking liar.
Yeah, you're so sad.
Yeah. There's some dark, there's fucking dead kids in your house.
The skeletons in your closet.
They're stuffed in your fucking mattress, you psychopath. The people that are the most even keeled are the ones that are like, oh yeah, I fucking lose my shit sometimes because I don't bottle it all up inside until it boils over and I fucking stab a kid in the street.
That's like me now, you know what I mean? Like before when I was using, I was depressed, but like a lot of it I was admitting. I'm like, I wouldn't want to admit that I was a fucking piece of shit. I fucking knew it.
Of course.
And I was just like, God, I fucking hate myself.
Yeah, there's no denying it.
I'm just going to, you know, fucking
numb it out.
Numb it out. But now it's like, yeah, I'm a piece of shit. Or I was. I was a piece of shit. And I fully accept that. And like, I still go through fucking I'm going through shit right now. And it's like, I've been fucking I've been listening to a lot of Bad Brains lately. And just that song Attitude, the fucking PMA, bro. Mm-hmm. Positive mental attitude, bro.
That's right.
So it's like, that's something that is, it's so legit, bro, to think about it that way. Cause like,
absolutely. Yeah, and it you have to have like numbing your shit out with drugs. It doesn't allow you to feel the bad stuff so you can appreciate the good stuff. So you have to have the you have to have the yin and the yang of everything.
Yeah.
You have to be able to feel like, oh my God, this is horrendous sadness, so that when you get over it, whether or not you overcome it by actually putting yourself in a different position in your mind, or it just time takes over and it kind of melts away over time, it's a good thing to feel every type of emotion, because that's why, I mean, why else do we have them? Like, otherwise we would be like the movie Equilibrium, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody's just taking a medication that numbs you out, and you could stomp a puppy to death and not feel bad. But then you stop taking the medication, and then you watch a video of a puppy, like, you know, being excited to meet to see its owner again after he came back from the war, and bro, I fucking cry every time.
Yeah, I watch those videos, bro, and I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah, I try to stop it, and it doesn't. I can't.
Dude, I get emotional in movies. Like, I watch movies and it gets me emotional, or I listen to songs and it's just like back then, listening to fucking like emo music and shit. Like,
oh yeah, fucking Bayside always does it.
Dude,
I get the hair on the back of my neck stands up. I get goosebumps. It's crazy.
Listening to that shit, it's just like, dude, somebody, like, you know, like every artist always says, I want to speak. I want them to feel through our music, and like I felt.
You
want to?
Yeah, you got to relate.
Yeah.
And that's why I like emo music so much. Whether it be My Chemical Romance, Taking Back Sunday, Alkaline Trio, Bayside is probably one of my favorites, or AFI. Yeah. And it's like, that's the realest type of shit. Because like, hip hop music is cool and everything, but that's not, I can't relate as much to that, just because, I mean, it's not really about my life.
Yeah,
but emo music, it just hits a fucking nerve, because everybody's had fucked up relationships. Everybody's had, you know, low fucking points.
Right.
And I can associate those things with drug use and putting myself into bad situations, let alone the drugs, you know, whatever the drugs did to my fucking head.
Yeah, yeah.
That who knows what the repercussions of that.
Like, the whole, because, you know, like with Roxy and Zayn and shit, like, I feel like I treat them, this is, because of the drugs, I feel like I treat them a little differently than Spencer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that's because I feel like I fucked up so hard with them that, like, I feel like I'm treating them like shit when I speak to them. And, like, I don't know. Like, my mom's like, don't talk to them like that. I'm like, I'm not talking to them like anything. I'm just... But it's just, like, I don't know how to act, bro. I feel like I know I didn't. They fucking love the shit out of me. But, like, sometimes I feel like I push them. I don't know what it is, bro, but it's just... The thought of everything I did while I was on drugs is what fucks with me now.
See, they most likely do not remember any of that shit. And I feel bad having to reprimand Oliver or my daughter for any type of bad behavior. Cause it's like, fuck, it's a child, you know, but you also have a civic duty to society to like stop them from being a fucking total monster in public. Like this kid's going to go to school and make some kid's life fucking hell, to where this kid's gonna be a piece of shit and grow up to beat his wife or kill somebody or choke cats or something like that. It's like Louis C.K. had that joke, like, a mom's just letting some little shitty kid throw shit all over the ground, just, I'll pick it up. And it's like, do your fucking job. You're raising the next Hitler, you fucking stupid bitch. Do your fucking job.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be your kid's best friend all the time. You're supposed to be there to guide your kid. You're supposed to show your kid unconditional love, and that is the most important thing. Your kid can do wrong, but you can't let that affect the love that you have for the kid. But you also have to make sure that they understand what the difference between right and wrong is, and that's what a lot of people are failing to do nowadays. It's like they're pulling back on the reins so hard.
Yeah.
That kids they're going to have free reign over whatever they want. Kids are, every time I hear about anything about young kids, 10-year-old, 11-year-old kids, they're already talking about eating butts and fucking in the butt and taking Molly and Xanax and blowjobs and deep throating. Bitch, you're 11.
Yeah.
The fuck? Kids can't even come yet, and you're talking about pearl necklaces and shit? What the fuck do you know about it, you little bitch? Go to school.
Yeah.
Play with dolls. Play fucking video games. Hang out with your friends. What the fuck do you need to talk about riding dick for and having a wet-ass pussy when you're 11?
Or just listening to that shit.
Exactly. I listened when I was 11. My favorite band was Green Day. Okay? Now, Green Day doesn't talk about, I mean, in the second album, they talked about meth, but I was too young to know what it was. So that didn't really make a fucking difference. But these kids are listening to songs. Songs are not, no metaf- there's no metaphors anymore.
I was like stealing CDs from my brother.
You got a wet ass pussy. You know,
listening to Wu-Tang and like Immortal Technique.
Well, yeah. Once I got my first Tupac, I got the Machiavelli album when I was 12. My brother gave it to me. 11 though.
Right.
11 is when I got Green Day, the first album, when I was 10. Cause it came out like right around that time.
Yeah.
Or no, I was 9. But yeah, I got Machiavelli when I was 12 from my brother. He gave that to me. And then he also gave me my first Misfits album. He gave me, Legacy of Brutality, which ended up being one of my favorites because it has Hybrid Moments and Angel Fuck and Comeback and Some Kind of Hate, American Nightmare, the Elvis sounding one. But yeah, it's like, fuck, man. So getting into the relationship aspect of things like that, that's a weird thing, is co-parenting. Yeah. Now, especially like my wife is 8 years younger than me, a little over 8 years.
Right.
And that shit shows. And also, she was raised a little bit different than I was, because I was raised in the early 90s and she was born in the fucking mid 90s. So she was also raised by her grandmother, who basically let anything go. And that's the type of kid that grows up to start smoking weed at 13 and sneaking out and having boyfriends who they jerk off at 14. And it's like, when I was 13... I was just hanging out with my friends. They were dudes. Like, I had girlfriends and whatever, like girlfriends at school. Yeah. And you'd play like truth or dare, like a peck. And you're like, oh my fucking God, dude, yeah, I'm so hard right now. It's <That's> crazy, dude. Bro, I'm so fucking. Adjust. Yeah. You have to tuck it up in your belly button and shit.
Oh yeah.
But it's like, so then when you introduce a child into that type of a situation, it's like you have two different ideas of parenting. You'd have two different patient like tolerance for fucking bullshit.
Yeah,
you have to have, and I've already had a kid, so I already dealt with all this shit. I already know what the issues are. I know how much patience you need to deal with a fucking child.
Yeah.
And drugs never did any favors for anybody as far as patience and all that, because it just makes you irritable as fuck. Like, you're always angry, especially if you don't have it or you're trying to get it and you're having issues.
Or if you're just high as fuck and someone's like all up in your business. Like, I would be high at my parents' house, which of course was stupid, but like they would be all up in my shit. But they're like, most of the time I'm always just like, hey, like, you want to eat? And I'm like, no, mom.
And you're like, no, I'm not on drugs, bitch.
Yeah, shut
the fuck you.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. She's like, I can hear a torch in there, mijo.
There's smoke fuck coming
you,
out.
Fuck you, stupid.
There's smoke coming out of the vents.
Yeah,
it happened.
Smells like meth. And you're like, no, you're dumb.
It's a fucking idiot. Instant.
Yeah, it's Nag Champa, you fucking idiot, bitch. I hate you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like taking a chunk out of your life where you're not growing.
Right.
That's the shitty thing about those type of things. But then you have things like depression and anxiety. So depression can make, you know, you have weight fluctuation. Depression also is linked to irritability, huge. And then anxiety is like, I don't want to fucking, like, I don't want to trap my kid inside the home to be an agoraphobic fucking nightmare. But also, I can't, like, be out in a fucking crowded store and dealing with all these fucking people and the noises. And kids can sense that type of shit coming off of you, and it can make everything fucking terrible to deal with. Which is, you know what I mean? It's not like a kid's going to remember any of that shit. But then it's like, that also makes me feel like I'm not doing everything that I could do, because I could take him out more often. I could just deal with whatever. But then it's like, is that making me more irritable? Is that fucking with the marriage in general? Is it making the relationship worse?
See, like, when I got with my ex-wife now, like, when I got with her, I was not sober, bro. Like, I was off heroin. I was off meth and shit, right? But I was drinking every fucking day when I was in California. Mm-hmm. And I got back and she told me, well, you got to stay clean. And I'm like, yeah, of course, for sure.
Easy.
Done. Yeah. But of course, dude, I got back and fucking the first thing that was on my mind was like, I'm going to go get high. Cause
yeah, who do I know that has dope right now?
And of course it was everybody. I knew everybody. But like, that's the thing she never understood. and she still does probably doesn't get it, like, why the fuck I was like that. When you're on drugs, you're a fucking selfish fucking person.
Yeah.
So that part of me wasn't gone yet, dude. I wasn't giving a shit about, oh, is she happy? Is everything going smooth? No, I didn't give a fuck. I was like, okay, I'm not doing good right now. She's not happy with me, but if I'm not feeling okay enough to fucking treat her right, then what the fuck am I doing?
It's not going to make a difference.
No, because I was just getting high. So just to fucking treat her right, which was horrible, dude.
Yeah.
I was trying to be like, well, I'm high right now, so hi, babe. Like,
yeah. And when I wasn't, I'd be like, that's the shitty thing is that when you are high, that's when you're like the most loving and happy and all this shit. And that's the last thing that they want is for you to be high to have to do that. Like, you have to be fucking high to want to hug me and shit.
Yeah.
Like, at the time, yeah. Because really all I want is to be high. And I know that if I'm not nice to you, you're going to make it really hard for me to get high.
Yeah. You're just going to give me anxiety and be like, fuck this.
And now I got to leave and go get high again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a, I mean, yeah, that's a fucking terrible situation. Dude. And they tell you, when you go to rehab, that's like the main thing they tell you is that you have to be selfish right now.
Yeah.
You have to put yourself first because this has to be for you, nobody else.
That's what's fucking crazy about that, right? Because I was so selfish for so long, right? And then I was getting told as I was recovering.
Be selfish.
They're like, dude, you have to be. Like, there's nobody fucking matters right now but you.
Yeah, because you have to want to be sober. And then you also have to realize that the sobriety is what's causing the clarity, which is what's causing the happiness.
Yeah.
And everything that follows along, being able to have a normal sleep schedule, eating correctly, like being sociable, just having an overall better sense of self and just kind of not being a shitty, frustrated, addicted, selfish prick.
Let's see that, like the whole frustration part, like that's something I still got to work with and shit. But I mean, I don't know if that's just coming from everything that's going down right now, but like probably. Even before then I was so stressed out from dealing with all that shit that I was just like always irritable. I'd come to work, I would barely talk when we get there, and like it wouldn't be till fucking later on where I'm like, okay, I've been busting my ass, I got the energy now,
so yeah,
bullshitting. But like
because I noticed that stuff, and I know what it is. I know that it's anxiety, because I haven't even asked you about it.
Yeah.
And we haven't really talked too much about it, but what is going on is it's fucking terrible. I've gone through it to a certain extent, but not quite to this extent. Just the way that it happened was fucked off, and no one would disagree with that. And it is really fucking hard to have to deal with the first thing that comes to you that usually you would just go, I'm going to go get high to get over this.
Dude, this is going to blow your fucking mind, though. Like, I've been going through all this shit, right? And, like, remember I was telling you about the PMA, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because, like, that's such a fucking true statement, dude. You got to have a positive mental attitude. I'm going through shit right now, bro. Like,
it's bad. And,
dude, all I try to be, this is what's been helping me. No matter how fucking shitty everything is right now, I'm just trying to be as positive as I can. This is what I look forward to. I just got hit up by some other podcasters fucking... Your Worst Friends podcast. They told me, like, dude, can you come on and talk to me about your addiction and shit? I'm like, holy fuck, dude, that's what I've been wanting to do. Just doing this, talking, letting it all out, like,
it's basically, that's what helps, bro. A form of therapy for sure.
It fucking helps, bro, just being able to talk. Cause, dude,
and it could help other people.
Inside, I'm like a screaming little girl.
Yeah,
for sure.
I get there a lot. A lot of the times, like, lately, I've been more of like a, just an angry old man inside.
You're like Bruce Banner right now.
Yeah. But it doesn't really bother me so much because, like, at this point, I've gone through so much and I've dealt with so many shitty people and, like, the worst people on the fucking face of the earth, basically. I've dealt with so much of it that it takes so much to push my buttons as far as, like, life in general throwing dog shit at me.
Yeah.
I'm just like, take it on the chin, like, what the fuck ever. It's not the worst thing that's happened to me, and it's not gonna be the last shitty thing thrown my fucking way either.
When shitty things happen, I'm just like, of course.
Yeah. This is me.
Yeah. Checks out.
Yeah. You've just got a fucking, like, a bird shit into your open mouth.
It's like somebody's just consistently fucking stabbing you like in the heartstrings, and you're just like,
yeah,
what am I gonna do?
Yeah, yeah. It's like you found a dollar on the ground and you like, you go, yes, and a bird shits right into your mouth, and then you like take a step back and you trip over a homeless guy and you fall on his dick and he rapes you. It's like,
is that rape though? Like,
I mean, no, well, you fall on him and then he's like, well, you fell on me and now I've got you.
This is happening.
I'm fucking you because you chose to wear a kilt today. Yeah. So
God,
this is what's fucking happening to you. You shouldn't have had that fucking, you shouldn't have lubed up your asshole before you left the house because you didn't want your butt cheeks rubbing together and chafing and whatever.
Yeah, no, it's a thing.
That's usually how it goes when you wear a kilt outside. I bet if you look with a flashlight, there'll be glistening butt cheeks.
Oh, yeah.
There was some, like, I went to the park earlier today. There was a fucking, there was a lady there. It was pretty fucking windy. And there was a lady with a very flowy dress on. Mm. And it was like an older blonde lady. Not really someone that you'd want necessarily. Mm. Like, you know, sometimes you see, like, an attractive girl and the wind's blowing. You're just like, it'd be kind of cool if the wind was just like, you know what I mean? But this was not one of those situations. This is one where I was like, please just die down because I don't. Like,
please don't.
I don't want to see this. I don't. It did, like, it blew up and it was just giant granny panties, though.
And you're just like, ew.
Yeah. Let me record this real quick so I can show everybody.
This is gross.
Yeah. Click. It was, remember that one time we were driving back from work and there was that girl wearing a shirt on the side of Aviation and she got like stepped on the back tire to like lean over the bed of the truck.
We were like
just
fucking
straight ass cracking pussy. Just
we were like Craig and Smokey. Damn. Yeah.
Damn. Just what the fuck are you doing out here? You're just wearing a big shirt and no underwear. The fuck? Huh. It was just bussy and ass.
Bussy. Yeah.
Yeah. Just fucking it was, right there.
It was pretty cool.
It was very strange.
And
like,
awesome.
I'll never understand the motivation behind a choice like that.
Yeah, like you would think, hey, I'm wearing a very skimpy outfit, like,
yeah,
and I'm barely wearing anything under,
nothing,
but it's like I gotta get something out of this cooler right here.
Yeah, the bed of this truck needs to be inspected. And me without my underwear on,
I dropped a grain of salt.
Yeah, I need that.
Yeah,
the contacts that I don't wear are in the bed of this truck. I need to grab those. And yeah, just fucking straight anus to the air, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty crazy. Like she was trying to suntan her fucking brown eye, I guess.
It was a
trying to make it darker.
Instead of bleaching it, she was tanning it.
Have you ever seen a girl's like with a bleached asshole before?
No, I'd like to.
I mean,
being real here,
I bet on porn. There's fucking plenty of porn stars that have bleached assholes.
Yeah, but I want to see it like
in person.
I want to be close enough to smell it.
Yeah, I want to like see. You know? I want to see like a before and after. Like, I bet you could find pictures of like a before and after of a bleached butthole. I wonder if it hurts.
I don't know.
It can't feel good to like burn, because I think what it does is like it bleaches a few layers of skin and then your butthole just appears lighter. I mean, it's
I'm totally looking it up right now because I'm very curious.
I mean, it's a good idea. It's worth a shot. I mean, I don't really think that I need it, but
Bright Plus Serum Intensive. What the fuck?
Well, yeah, it's just gonna show you like butthole bleaching. It's like $30 or something like that to like do it at home. But it's like, I don't know if I trust to do it myself. Like, what if you leave it on too long?
That's the randomest thing.
You show anuses?
Yeah, but it's like,
oh, it's a straight up
anal reconstructive.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's kind of terrifying.
They got an anal reconstructive surgery. Holy what the fuck did she do?
I'm very curious, bro, like for real.
Did somebody just sit on a fire hydrant or something?
Oh, hold on, where the fuck it just went back.
What
down
is this?
Goddamn anal
you
bleach
on Walmart
gel. Anal bleach gel, they sell it at Walmart, guys.
Oh,
if you're
man.
curious,
you could buy anal bleach gel at Walmart, everybody.
That's super weird.
That's where I'm headed.
Oh, okay,
what's that?
Look, I don't know.
Oh,
that looks
my God.
Completely Photoshopped, though. I'm not going to lie.
Whoa. Huh. That's fucking, that's not her butthole, is it?
I don't know.
How close up was that? Hmm. Oh, my God. It was like the butt crack, and it was like on the whole butt cheeks from the tailbone to like her gooch, it was just this thick dark line on both sides. That's the whitest circumference of an asshole I had ever seen. Just a white light,
yeah,
on that chick's butt cheeks.
That's it.
God damn.
Just nothing.
Yeah,
that was weird.
Disgusting.
I don't know. Maybe you just find like
what causes that? How do you get
I don't know.
A tailbone to gooch asshole that like goes it like fucking
like how do you wipe, you know?
It looks like she doesn't.
Oh yeah, true.
Like Jesus fucking Christ. Hold on a second. Tailbone to gooch.
That's kind of cool though. I mean, Walmart's carrying it. They're supporting the fucking
the cause.
Yeah. That's cool. I mean,
yeah, I don't know how. I mean, have you ever seen a butthole that was like, not like her butthole was big, but like the ring around it was big?
Yeah, it looked like the moon when the fucking, that like ray of light's around it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw one that was like, what can I compare it to? Like a tea saucer. Okay. You know what I mean? Her butthole was like the size of a tea saucer.
Okay.
And it was like not. It wasn't like a loose butthole or anything. It was just the circumference of the discoloration was very widespread.
I'm going to take this off of my search history because it's super weird.
Your internet search provider, your internet service provider still knows what you looked up.
Damn it.
Even if you go on incognito mode, it still tells you like people can't see this, but your internet provider still knows what the fuck you looked at, you sick fuck.
Damn it.
It's all good, dude. But...
Oh, fuck. Whoops.
I mean, I'm a big fan of buttholes. I mean, a lot of people know that. I don't know if you'd call it a fetish, kind of like how dudes like feet, I guess. But
I don't fucking get that.
Fucking a foot is weird. Like, girls that walk around, like, all day, they have, like, crusty ass.
They're, like, doing this.
Heels
like,
and shit.
You seen the pornos where they're, like...
Yeah, they put their feet together and jerk you off. Yeah, that's so weird.
I don't get it.
I mean, you could fuck a butt.
Can't fuck a foot. You could.
I mean, you can, but it's you have to squeeze both feet together. It's like titty fucking, but with crusty feet.
Okay, let's be fucking real here, though. Is it really fucking a foot, or are you just jerking yourself off with it?
You're kind of you're using it as a surface to rub your dick on. I guess you're applying pressure with it, but it's basically jerking off with feet. Because you jerk off with your hand, I guess it would still be a foot job, is what it's called.
Yeah.
But fucking titties isn't called a tit job.
No.
It's called titty fucking.
Yeah.
Like, that's a fucking phrase.
Maybe it's I think it just sounds cooler.
Titty fucking?
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
But when...
just sounds cooler, dude.
When you first start doing it, people don't tell you have to have lube to do that.
Yeah.
Because, like, everything else dries up too quickly. You just... A little ball, like a little nickel-sized thing of lube on her between her titties, and then... Or you rub it all over your cock and balls... And then you just have them mush
your
their tits
cock
together.
And balls.
Yeah, yeah.
inserting the whole fucking area.
Yeah,
like.
It feels good to pop your balls between there and shit. So I'm sure it feels good.
I'm getting such weird fucking pictures in my head.
I'm super not a fan of getting my balls sucked, though. It terrifies me. Because that thing when it goes and like pops out
like
of their mouth.
Dude. Like not the whole like when they're being aggressive with it.
No.
But like when they're like this.
No. Yeah, if they just like put their mouth on it, like a ball koozie, they go.
Yeah.
That. That's cool. Have you ever had a ball koozie?
I want to so bad. I've heard about it. I need somebody who's willing to do that and be like, you're not
a
fucking freak.
Big bowl of water, put hot water in it.
Yeah, lukewarm.
I want it like not hot, but like.
Like you're taking a bath.
Like a jacuzzi.
Yeah.
You know? 102 degree water, put your balls in it, and then they blow into it with a straw.
Let me tell you, though, this conversation here, I'm not depressed anymore, so.
That's what this is all about, dude. See? Oh, my God, this chair almost collapsed. If everybody who had depression issues just listened to some dumb fucking morons talk about stupid shit, there'd be a lot less depression in the world. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
Listening to podcasts for sure helped me get over a lot of fucking different stuff. Because, like, I had a relapse last year. My grandma died, and, like, everything was cool. I was clean for, like, 2 years. Like, I still smoke weed, but I have my medical card. which is legal out here now. But if you don't have your medical card, it's a 16% charge. So a $45 thing will be $70 for someone who doesn't have the medical card. So it's still totally worth it to go to a doctor and get your medical card. But
hit them streets.
yeah. Get up in the fucking streets and do that shit. But it's like my grandma died and I like watched the whole fucking thing go down. You know what I mean? I was going over there every single day because I knew my mom works for hospice, and she told me like, your grandma's, she's on her way out, so you're going to want to like spend some time with her and, you know, do all that shit. So I went over there every single day, and I remember the day that everything went down, and just going over there and seeing her like that, I was just like, fuck, man, I do not have the fucking skills to cope with this. I can only do the one thing I know how to do to cope with this type of shit. So that's what I did. I thought, like every other junkie, I thought I could fucking get this far in it, and I know that if I stop here, I'll be good. And I passed that point of no return. But then when I started getting into the injections and getting Suboxone and Sublocade injections and all that stuff, podcasts helped the mental aspect of it that no amount of medication can help. And stand-up comedy helped. Like, just listening to people that are able to find the funniest angles of every type of situation in life.
Yeah.
And listening to their podcast, just the charisma that you have to be able to just bullshit. Like, someone like Bill Burr or someone like Mark Normand or fucking Norm MacDonald, any of those guys, Chris D'Elia was amazing at it. Just to bullshit.
Yeah.
By yourself, Theo Vaughn, another one. He's just amazing to listen to.
When we're at work, dude, it's not like we're fucking, because we're working, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, I don't focus on what the fuck you're doing. I'm focusing on what I'm doing, and I'm in my head. So when I pop those fucking headphones in, it's like I'm listening. Instead of hearing my thoughts, I'm hearing somebody else's thoughts, like, pretty much.
It's you're eavesdropping on a conversation. Yeah, like, you're on the phone with them, but you're muted.
Yeah.
And that's how, that literally, once I figured that out to listen to podcasts at work, it made my days go by so much faster, because it's like, you listen to two episodes of Joe Rogan's podcast, you're done with an 8-hour day. So it's like very, very fucking, very important for your fucking brain to keep it from trailing off on those weird things that your brain can often do, like tricking yourself that you can make yourself have a heart attack, or, you know, looking up at the sun and being like, oh, what if that explodes soon? And then you get into a panic attack about that shit, which happens to me a lot. You know, I get weird existential panics. Like, sometimes when I'm laying down at night, I'll go, I wonder what it's going to be like to, like, get close to dying. Like, I wonder if I'm going to die, like, soon, or if I'm going to die when I'm old. And then I get that, like, head to toe, like, pulse feeling. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I need to start thinking about something else. And then it just, like, creeps in, and then everything just takes over. But it's like, if I listen to a podcast or if I listen to stand-up comedy, there's also this dude Kit Boga that I listen to.
Oh yeah,
the scammer. He's a scammer guy. He calls scammers and he, like, chats with them for hours, and he puts it all on YouTube. That guy has the gift of gab as well. He can fucking, he acts like he's an old woman or an old man or a young girl sometimes, and he puts a voice changer on, and he can fucking talk these dudes' ears off for hours, like, saying absolutely nothing, but it's like super convincible. It's super convincible to think like, oh, this is an old woman for sure, like, talking about the dog and their friend fucking Sylvia and all this other shit. And it's very important for people with mental health issues to realize that things like that can help. You don't just need medication. You know, medication's not always going to help, because SSRIs did not help me. SNRI, I wanted to commit suicide. I took Cymbalta and I wanted to die.
They fucking, when I got out of rehab, they still had me on all my meds and shit.
Yeah.
And they were helping me sleep at night, because now I go to sleep because I'm constantly moving. So it's like, but before Absolutely. When I wasn't, I was just like, fuck, I'd just stay there and I'd do this fucking thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd be like, when am I going to go to sleep? When am I going to go to sleep? And it wouldn't happen. And so they had me on fucking Trazodone.
Yep.
They had me on fucking Seroquel. And then they had me on the gabapentins, all this shit. But when I got out, I was still taking them. And I just remember thinking, I'm like, dude, I don't want to fucking be on these, like,
no,
forever.
It makes you a different person.
They call those, they call whatever doctor's name, they call that her, like, the doctor special there. They're like, well, you're fucking not on drugs, but here's these, dude.
Yeah, you're like, definitely fuck. On drugs.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
all psychotic medications.
Yeah.
They're anti-psych medications. They're doing nothing good for the long term.
Yeah.
They're literally just the same thing as what drugs are. They're putting a fucking Band-Aid on a bullshit problem.
Like
it probably doesn't even need a Band-Aid.
With the whole anxiety thing too, because like I have it, you know what I mean? I do for sure. And like it used to be worse. Like I wouldn't even want to leave my fucking house. I wouldn't even want to go to the store. Fuck that.
Classified myself as agoraphobic.
I wouldn't.
For sure.
Dude, I couldn't. People would be like, let's go to parties. There'll be chicks there. I'm like, I'm good, dude.
Fuck chicks, man.
Like, I'm all right. Yeah, fuck chicks. That's
I got
the point.
Porn, dude.
Yeah, that's the point, though.
Yeah. Oh, well. No, not like that.
But, dude, now that, like, I'm fucking doing something, like, I'm working with you and we're roofing, every day I'm fucking consistently fucking moving.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when I get home, my mind's, like, whatever, blank unless something's brought up. But by the time I go to bed, I'm like, fuck, I gotta go to sleep. I don't worry about anything else other than I gotta wake up at fucking 3 a.m. tomorrow.
I'm so fucking exhausted. I can't stay awake any longer.
Like, that's cool. That, I don't know. Like, maybe some people do need medications. Not need them, but maybe it'll help. You know what I mean?
I know some people that SSRIs did help them.
Right.
They had a specific issue and it did fix the specific issue. But for anxiety and things like that, SSRIs have never worked.
Imagine just getting a group of people like that just to go do some like manual shit, get their hands dirty, fucking whatever, bleed a little bit, scratch up their knees,
yeah,
fucking go skating, fall
it's
off a bike, like
it's
whatever, dude.
Like it's basically like exercising. You're getting your fucking blood pumping. You're climbing up pitched roofs all the time. You're carrying 60-pound, 80-pound bundles of shingles across roofs. You're doing exercise. You're working out.
Right.
That's a very important thing for mental health in general. Joe Rogan talks about that shit constantly.
Yeah, for sure.
Now he's definitely an idyllic type of a dude.
Yeah.
Like he's a good representation of an alpha male. Like I don't believe in the whole construct idea of that, but he's a guy's guy, you know? He's happy. He's successful. He's got so much fucking energy. He's got drive. He's got the ambition to do shit like that. And that's the things that you lack when you let mental health take control of those types of things. And it eats away at your ambition. It eats away at your drive and your heart to fucking do anything. And it doesn't allow you to be creative. It doesn't allow you to be excited. It doesn't allow you to do anything.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe before, like, because remember I told you, I've never been fucking creative person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did graffiti and shit, and I would go do that, and I fucking was really into it. But, like, that, I was all by myself doing that shit. I wasn't around other people having to be creative, like, and then, like, I never put that in my mind before, so, because I was, and, like, I think that kind of raised my anxiety up a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, even till now, until we started doing this, honestly, like, I fucking say all the time, like, maybe I'm not being as creative, but I'm fucking speaking things like I don't know, like going back to what my sponsor tells me. He's like, dude, fucking help people. I told him about the podcast and he's like, dude, what do you talk about? I'm like, drug abuse, fucking everything. We bullshit. And he's like, dude, that right there, that's something that's going to help, man. Like,
yeah, absolutely. It can help a lot of people. And I didn't even really think about it until I've had a few people message me to say either that they learned something, that they were inspired, that they thought that it was going to help a lot of people, or that it was going to actually teach people some things, because it's not something that a lot of people get involved in. If you think about a percentage of people that get into drug addiction and then get out and also have mental health issues, but it's also a lot of people that get into those situations that when they get out, they can articulate them so well and have such an understanding of it just
being around all the people that we were around, experiencing the things that we did, and then having the mental capacity to understand and process the emotions and then articulate them on camera with good audio equipment and then put it out for other people to fucking absorb it and understand it.
Just the fact that, like, we put this shit all together, like, ourselves.
Yeah.
It's so fucking rad because we did, like, what the fuck? Like, you pretty much had everything, right? We
got all the audio stuff.
We got a camera. We got a light. Like, I had to get a microphone. We had to get cords, everything. Like,
yeah,
all this shit. And then now look, we're fucking just set up.
Yeah.
And it's cool as fuck, dude. Like, what the fuck? That's so, it's so exciting. Like, I fucking try to promote as much as possible on my fucking Instagram.
Absolutely.
And a lot of, and I've been seeing it. We've been getting a lot more fucking followers on the page and it's been pretty rad. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah. We got a lot more on Instagram than we ever have. And I was looking at the analytics, and the analytics, they say that a lot of our shit comes from people looking us up on Instagram. Twitter, it doesn't do so much, and Twitter's not really for promoting so much. I mean, a lot of people do it, but it's like, there's like the top 5% of creators on Twitter. And those are the ones that get basically all of the attention and they get all the followers. And there's so many podcasts on Twitter. It's an oversaturated market, and Instagram does have a lot as well, but there's a lot more that you can do on there with IGTV, with reels, with stories, with hashtags. The hashtags model on Instagram is so much, it's leaps and bounds above Twitter. Like, if you type in hashtags on Instagram and it shows you how many recent posts are on that hashtag and all that shit. And it also, once you make a post, it tells you, like how many people that those hashtags reached. And it's like in the fucking thousands for each post, like 2,445 people saw this post and we've got 100-something followers, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like a 1,000% increase, like, just over the course of one fucking post. So, I mean, that type of shit really fucking helps. Trying to think, I'll figure that shit out later.
Like fucking today on the way over here, like the dude who gave me a ride, he was like, I told him what happened and he's like, dude, what the fuck? He's like, if you ever need to kick it or just bullshit, bro, let me know. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, cool. He's like, yeah, if you want to hang out with some good people that aren't shit bags, like, I mean, the dude.
Was he at community service?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, he fucking doesn't do anything. He works at Lowe's and shit and whatever. That fool has a drink here and there. But he doesn't look like that type of person who's like, I'm fucked up every fucking night.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, he was just genuinely like, dude, yeah, hit me up, bro. Like, we can kick it, whatever. I'm like, oh, that's cool as fuck, bro. Like, just.
Yeah, because he didn't have to fucking do shit. He didn't have to give you a ride and all that shit.
Fuck no. He bought me lunch today.
Oh, for real?
Fucking Red Bull. I'm like, I got money, bro.
He's just some random dude?
Yeah, well, I've been hanging out with them. Like, when I go over there, I hang out with them all the fucking time. That's who I bullshit with.
Oh, yeah.
Majority of the time.
And is he there every day, or does he go there on the weekend?
He goes there on the weekends. I don't know if he goes every day, but.
Yeah, because I used to do that. That's where I did mine, and I would go after work every single fucking day just to, because I had so much to do in such a little time. How many hours do you have left?
I don't fucking know.
You don't even know?
No, I don't know how. I just know I have to do 20 hours a month.
Okay. Did you know how many you had in the beginning, or did you just knew that?
I'm sure they fucking told me. I just don't remember.
I remember that they told me that I had 100 to start.
I'm serving the community, dude, so it's good.
That's right.
Yeah.
You should, like, get a receipt for when you just blow people in the corner, because that's really servicing the community as well.
No. I have it's already tucked up.
You should get, like, 5 hours for each bead. You get 5 hours for it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
That'd be great. Fuck it.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Like.
Whatever.
fuck. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
I don't know.
So I'm trying to think.
I don't know, but I am doing that podcast pretty soon with those guys at Your Worst Friends.
Your Worst Friends podcast.
Yeah,
that's right.
They're on Instagram.
Do you know where they post their shit?
They're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, fucking.
So basically the same shit we are?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
I think they only do audio, but I mean, fuck.
Oh, really? They don't do video?
They told me that they were going to do something. We're going to do it over Zoom. So I'm like, that's fuck it. Like,
okay, so they must do video.
Yeah. Well, I looked them up. I don't know. But the guy seems cool. He told me a story and shit about what happened with his family. And he just wanted to get like an outside, somebody from the outside to talk about it. I'm like, yeah, bro, I got you. I've got horrible stories.
So. I'm going to, I want to bring Brandon on here. To talk about the drug addiction stuff, because he's got a lot of crazy fucking stories.
Yeah, for sure.
He was in it for a long time. Like, he was in the game back when he was 15, and he's like a couple years younger than me now. But yeah, we just started doing the Felony News Network podcast. I just got the YouTube video put up on Saturday morning, and the audio is up. It's only available on like 3 listening platforms, like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor right now. But over the course of the next couple weeks, once I post more, they'll start getting us up on more shit. And it's still under the Still Fucking Up podcast YouTube page, just because I'm not going to fucking split all that shit up. When I finally do the comedy podcast, which we might be able to fucking just record a quick fucking 30-minute one. Once we get all that shit up, it's going to go up on the same thing. But yeah, everybody, look us up on Twitter. It's SFU Podcast on Twitter. On Instagram, it's Still Fucking Up _pod.
Oh.
If you look it up on YouTube, Still Fucking Up Podcast, or Still Fucking Up, it should just come up on YouTube. And keep an eye out for The Philosopher and the Comedian. I'm going to be on there tomorrow on Sunday, so it's going to come out Thursday of next week. You know when you're going to be on The Worst Friends?
I think I should be doing it probably within the next week. I'm going to talk to the dude. I should be doing it here within the next day or two. So
okay, so probably later on this week, The Worst Friends podcast, Juan will be on there. I'm going to hit up the dudes from the Stone Truth podcast, see if we're going to get back on there sometime soon. Chat with our Canadian buddies out there.
Make sure you talk to them once, bro, but I miss my Canadian friends, dude.
Yeah, they're cool. I still hit them up on Twitter every once in a while.
Yeah.
But thank you guys for joining us on Still Picking Up Podcast.
Like, comment, subscribe. See you next time. Still fucking up. Still fucking up.